This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The Massachusetts House of Representatives is right now debating a bill that would legalize sports betting in the Commonwealth. Here's Beverly Representative Jerry Parasella speaking on the House floor earlier this afternoon.
Some may say that this is bringing sports betting to Massachusetts. The fact is that our Massachusetts residents are already betting on sports. But what this does do is it brings it out of the shadows and into the light and makes it legal in Massachusetts.
WBUR's Steve Brown is at the State House following the debate, and he joins us now. Steve, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana.
So, Steve, we will go into the nuts and bolts here in just a second, but I want to get a sense of order of magnitude. How much money is at stake here?
We're talking millions of dollars. The House Chair of the Economic Development and Emerging Technologies Committee, Jerry Parasella, opened up the debate this afternoon telling his colleagues the state could take in $60 million in tax revenue every year, and he expects that number to rise. In addition to that, the bill calls for sportsbook operators to pay a $5 million licensing fee every 5 years, with other fees on top of that. The bill would also require all employees directly involved with offering sports wagering to maintain individual licenses at $100 a year fee, although that fee would likely be paid for by the employer. All in all, we're talking a lot of money.
Yeah, tens of millions. Okay, so now, what would this bill legalize exactly?
Yeah, it legalizes wagering on professional and collegiate sports, something people can do now in 30 states ever since the U.S. Supreme Court removed a nationwide prohibition 3 years ago. Betting would be allowed to take place at the state's three casinos, horse tracks, simulcast parlors, as well as via online mobile apps like DraftKings, which happens to be headquartered here in Boston.
Oh, so to that point, we've got tax revenues, we've got sort of betting revenues. Who gets money, and what would that money go to?
Sure. Backers of the bill say that the bulk of the proceeds would go to local aid to cities and towns, but also some money would be earmarked for other programs. For example, they set up a workforce investment trust fund with the money going toward strengthening job opportunities for low-income communities and vulnerable youth, with a focus on job skills training and adult literacy. There would also be a youth development and achievement fund to provide scholarships, and it also calls for the creation of a fund that would be distributed to charitable organizations.
Now, Steve, do you know, does any of the money get earmarked for, you know, gambling addiction services or support services of that kind?
Yeah, they will put some of it to that. Things are going to be falling under the Mass Gaming Commission, which has a pretty healthy gambling addiction program going on there.
Okay, I'm assuming there's industry oversight. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, the Mass Gaming Commission will be in charge. That makes sense since it's most likely the three existing casinos in Massachusetts, the MGM out in Springfield, Encore Boston in Everett, and Plain Ridge Park in Plainville will each be offering sports betting.
Okay, the House moved to legalize sports betting last session. That died in the state Senate. Any indication that it might be different this time around? I mean, we're talking about the House today. Obviously, that means the Senate's got to pick this up or not at some point as well.
Yeah, the Senate intends to take this matter up this session and has its own bill in the works. The question is timing. They could take it up next week before they break for the summer recess, or they could wait until they come back in September. While the Senate timing is up in the air, the lead sponsor over in the Senate, Eric Lesser of Longmeadow, told me earlier this week he expects the first legal sports bet in Massachusetts could be made before the end of this calendar year.
And Steve, any surprises in this legislation?
Not that I can think of. This is pretty much the way it's been unfolding in states around the country. I think the legislators here are using some of these other states as templates.
Okay, and what happens next? What are you going to watch for?
Yeah, the House will be finishing up their work today. The Senate will take it up in the not-too-distant future. Key legislators will meet behind closed doors to hash out the differences before emerging with a compromise. It's then on to the governor for his signature. Once approved, it will take a while for the Mass Gaming Commission to draw up some regulations, but they have a lot to choose from. 30 other states have already approved sports betting.
WBUR Senior State House Reporter Steve Brown. Steve, always appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Tiziana.
So joining us now for more context is Victor Matheson. He's a professor of economics and accounting at Holy Cross who studies sports betting. Victor, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you for having me.
So I want to start with kind of the big picture. Political observers like to say that Massachusetts is a little behind the eight ball here, crawling over the finish line, as we often have lagged on questions of gaming. What is the national picture on legalized sports betting, and how do we compare?
Right. So the national picture is that as of roughly 3 years ago today, it was legal essentially nowhere in the United States outside of Vegas and a couple of small outlier states like Montana that could offer games through their lottery. Then the Supreme Court said that sports gambling could no longer be made illegal by the federal government. That didn't legalize it everywhere, but it gave individual states the opportunity to legalize it. And we've seen very rapid movement here. So over the past 3 years, now at least 30 states have legalized sports gambling, or at least in the process of doing so. So we're a little bit slow here. But again, 3 years from starting from nothing to having most of the country legalizing gambling on sports, you know, that's pretty quick.
So, Victor, you heard Steve report that the discussion on the Massachusetts House floor, $60 million a year potentially in tax revenue, $5 million fee annually for various parties involved. What are your thoughts on those revenue estimates?
So those are certainly in the ballpark. If we see something like the UK, where they have had widespread legalization of sports gambling for decades, and you know you can do it again on your phones or in lots of betting parlors, they have over $1,000 of wagers being made a year for every adult in the country. Translate that to Massachusetts, and you're talking about $5 billion of wagers being made, and you'd be talking easily in the tens of millions of dollars of revenue being collected by the government. So those aren't out of reason at all.
Yeah, Victor, so I was going to follow up and say, do you have reason to believe that we would see that level or order of magnitude of betting activity in the Commonwealth?
Yeah, actually, we do. So the states that have legalized gambling have rapidly, it's a popular sport, right? And it's a popular activity. And so we see lots of people engaging in this activity. And we are, as a country, well on our way with it. By 2022, we'll probably be seeing at least $100 billion worth of wagers being made across the country. And that would be essentially the same amount that's being spent on lottery tickets nationwide.
So, Victor, we're starting to lose you. I'm going to ask another question here, but I do want to pay attention to your sound because you're starting to cut out for us a little bit. You heard Steve Brown talk about some of the big players, you know, players like DraftKings. I wonder, are there equity issues and worries here about small business owners? Do they benefit, small business owners, sports bars? Do they benefit when it's mobile apps and the big casinos? And should there be some kind of equity carve out with marijuana legalization?
So I think we are going to see most of the action being done by a handful of small players, either the casinos or the big mobile gaming apps.
I think you mean big players, not small players, right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. The big players, right? So again, the big casinos, the big apps there, they're going to be the ones who get most of the action here, right? The way that a small player is going to be in here is maybe it's more fun going out to the sports bar and watching the Celtics or the Red Sox while having the opportunity to make a few bets on your app while you're there. So again, any sort of benefit to the small guy, the little small business owner, almost certainly is some sort of spillover effect rather than being able to participate in that direct.
I want to talk about the downsides. You know, gambling is highly controversial. There are real concerns about addiction, losses for people with slim financial margins, opportunities for corruption when there's that much money at play. Talk about those risks with legalized sports betting in particular.
Right. So let's talk about the corruption first. I think all of the big leagues, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, they used to be terrified of gambling, and now they've come around on this. There's not much chance at all that a player like Jason Tatum or JD Martinez is going to be throwing a game because some bookie is sending them a couple thousand dollars. Where there is concern for corruption is in the college ranks, where we've seen a lot of changes here in just the last couple of weeks about paying college players. But They're highly susceptible to this, again, because of the NCAA's longstanding prohibition of players getting paid. Much easier to bribe a college player with a couple thousand dollars than an NBA star.
I think what's being discussed in the House would allow people to bet on the outcome of college sports games, but not on various aspects of individual college players' performance, correct?
Right, that's exactly right. And some of the things that are going to be hashed out between the Senate and the House version are the extent to which you can gamble on college sports at all, or whether Massachusetts residents can even gamble on the colleges here in Massachusetts. So whether you can actually place a bet on Holy Cross or BC, that's one of the questions that's going to be hashed out between the two different pieces. But that's a real concern.
So, and Victor, last question for you. Are there states that have legalized sports betting with lessons we should learn or draw on here in Massachusetts?
Yes. So one that we've seen is, first of all, you're very unlikely to get much action in the market unless you go to a full online system. The amount of gaming and sports bets being made actually in casinos is tiny. So if you actually want this to be something that people actually play, you're going to want to have that people be able to do it on their foot.
All right, Victor Matheson, I think you cut out there, but I'm going to say thank you, Professor of Economics and Accounting at Holy Cross. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me.